To CJSF 90.1 in Burnaby, British Columbia, broadcasting from the unceded territories of the Coast Salish peoples.
You almost live from the Dude in the Basement Studios. Why? Because that's where the good stuff is. It sips, suds, and smokes with your smoking host, the good old boys. Suds. It's time for more suds.
Hey there. I see you. I see what you're doing, but stop that. I want you to sit down with a beer.
And go wash your hands.
Well, there's alcohol in the beer. It'll clean everything. Yeah. Well, welcome everyone to another suds segment where good beer meets really bad radio. And we've all been there. I'm one of your hosts, good old gal Juliana, and joining me today at the table is good old boy Kendall.
Hi, how you doing?
Hi. Good old boy Mike.
I'm just simply standing here in the lovely bucolic fields and staring at this wide blue sky.
Kumbaya.
That's Kumbaya. Boring as fucking all get out.
See, I knew that Dave would have something for that.
That was nice.
Wow, that's very pretty.
I apologize to the people of Maryland. He's offended. Already.
It only gets worse from here.
Yes.
Did we even say anything about Maryland?
Not yet.
Yeah. Oh, we will. Okay. So, okay.
Old Bay.
I'm getting
blue crab. It's a bucolic, so yes. Okay. They probably picked up on that.
All right, fine. Good old boy Drew. Hi.
Nothing is safe.
Nothing.
Not even me.
Send help.
Good old boy Dave.
I turned around and slipped in my own pee.
Same field, different place. Yeah. Is that it? Is that how that
it gets
goes?
Gets muddy quick.
Yeah. Like, that was just breakfast this morning. We wanted to know how you were.
Oh. I think that's the definition of bucolic. You're just standing in your own piss.
Wow. Okay. Well, today's episode is a takeover of Lone Oak Farm Brewing Company in Olney, Maryland. I grabbed several of their selections on a recent road trip back home and brought them back from my little buddies here to try. Good old boy Dave, why don't you tell us a bit about Lone Oak?
Okay. So first off, if you live in a town that's called Only, how many times after every single time somebody asks you,
it's not only, it's Only.
I know, but how many times? Yeah, you're spelling that thing out every single time somebody asks you for your address. Yes, there's no way you would naturally spell that O-L-N-E-Y. No. Only. Yes, there'd be like two E's or an I or...
I'll need to get back to you on that.
Yeah, for sure.
Wow. I'm going to give that to you, but...
I'm sure he was a wonderful gentleman they named the town after, so... All right.
Uncle Only.
Fire away there, Drew. I didn't mean to interrupt.
All right.
Oh, Dave.
From ground to glass with a view. I will tag in Drew here in a second. Lone Oak is not just a brewery at a farm. Rather, it's a farm with a brewery. It's 28.66 acres of bucolic field. I had bucolic once. Fields and streams, a pond, and wide open spaces. Isn't that a song?
Can you say that on the air?
I guess we just did.
Wide open bucolic spaces.
Okay. All right. It's wildflowers and wildlife. It's crops, barley and hops. Ooh, that rhymes. And berries and hay. It's been raised to produce honey. Whoa. It's unicorns. Wait, no. That's sunset and a majestic pre-Civil War oak tree. It's our brew house. Carefully built, piece by piece, by world-class craftsmen using local lumber for the porch posts, beams, and bar. It's a tap room that feels like home, A little bit of all of this is infused in each pint.
Is this a brewery or work woodworking class?
Lone Oak craft beer. Go, Drew.
That's what I was thinking. I just have to say, I love the alliteration. You know, when Chris and Charlie Miller met Ralph and Ryan Mollett, the Miller brothers knew that they had found the right partners. They were very alliterative for the farm brewery project they envisioned. So the Mollett shared the Miller's values, hard work and entrepreneurial drive, loyalty, and like the Millers, they prioritized family, friends, and faith. They also liked beer. I'm glad that they did, because I also like beer. The Millers and Mollett's combined those values and passions to make their dream this reality. Lone Oak Farm Brewing Company, welcome. We're glad you're here.
What's interesting, if you look at the photos, is that both of the Millers have mullets. But the mullets do not.
So are they?
Do the Millers have mullets? And the mullets have Millers.
So they're like having ZZ to spell Top. Two things.
Maybe
so
Miller Lite.
They have to spell their town, and they have to say no. It's mullet. Mollett, not Mullett.
Does it matter?
Yeah. At the end of the day, does your stuff still arrive?
Look, you know, you're dealing with Mike.
All right.
Okay. So,
but you know, I have like this whole scene of like a fife and drum marching through a field, you know, and hearing it, and they're marching through these bucolic fields. If you know what bucolic field actually is, send us a note. I'd like to know exactly what kind of beer would you pair with that experience.
Zip it.
Okay.
Okay. And if I may say something quickly, it is really gorgeous out there. You're driving through like a one lane road to get there. And once you're there, it's just this beautiful space. The brewery is, it's so pretty. It's like if you've ever been near Cooperstown to
Omegang.
Yeah, to Omegang, it's a special brewery within like a special space, and this is just like that.
I think it's just full of I just think it's full of people that spell stuff like, hey, I'm Mike, M-I-K-E, like all day long, you know. It's not like two E's perhaps, or anything else, you know.
Perhaps it's the Maryland accent,
yeah,
that does it. Maybe. You know, and you know, they spell it how
and,
they say
and Kendall's
it.
About to bring home the Maryland accent.
Well, yes. Speaking of which,
yeah, we'll figure
good
that
boy
out.
Kendall, why don't you give us today's lineup in a specially prepared accent?
Lots of practice, I
let's
understand.
Let's just pretend this is what people from Maryland sound like.
Western Maryland. Go Western.
That's right,
Maryland.
Western Maryland. Yeah. Up in the mountains.
Whoa.
The Lone Oak Farm Brewing Company beers we'll be trying today are Dortmunder Export, a German lager, Deep Root, a milk chocolate porter, a Czech style pilsner called Hometown Crew, Lone Oak Lager, which is a light American lager, and the Lone Oak Maibach. And if time permits, we'll have a bonus beer or two, maybe three.
Who knows?
Yes.
Who knows? Okay.
Great job, Kendall.
Thank you. Thank you.
I felt like I was in Western Maryland.
I want that Maibach.
Good old boy, Drew. Why don't you give us a suds rating?
Should have spelled some of those.
I know, right? Look, you invited him over.
I think that was you.
Wow.
It wasn't me.
You lost that rock, paper, scissors.
Are you serious?
I'm keeping it together. We'll be discussing and rating these beers with these suds ratings, plus our signature belching sounds. Here are those ratings now. Number one, that sucks. Give me anything but a bud. Number two, was that a belch? Number three, what a relief. Number four, a body should really not make that sound. And number five, listen to that hang time. Give me another.
Thank you. That was nice. All right, let's get to it. First one we're going to talk about is the Dortmunder Export German Lager, 5.6% ABV, classic German lager style, balanced between complex maltiness with noble hop aromas and a mid-range alcohol level.
Can I get some, like, serfdom or, like, peasant hop aromas?
Hey, Mr. Beer Wizard, what's a Dortmunder lager in, you know, real language?
Talk beer talk.
To me, a Dortmunder lager, if I would try to explain it, imagine you start with a Helles, and you kind of amp up the malt
bitter.
Malt character more and add more hops too. Like a lot of export beers with traditions in Britain, this one was hopped a little higher than most. But you know, it really, I'm getting a lot of hop bitterness off this, and it is probably one of the more bitter German beers you're going to find.
I mean, this is borderline like English bitter, you know,
but it's got a big malt body to stand up to that. But it's one of the bigger of all the German lagers that doesn't go too dark. Very toasty, very bready.
You don't find a lot of craft breweries that make this style.
No, it's really rare. I would say the one most people know is from Great Lakes.
Yeah. Yep.
They're Dortmunder Gold. But other than that, I don't know of any other common examples that you can probably find on the store shelf.
Probably got to grow up on a farm.
Or maybe that's what I was thinking, that, you know, I have like the song of the Edmund Fitzgerald playing through my head. So maybe that was it, is the Great Lakes, you know, beers that I sat down. I had a Dortmunder and I'm crossing the streams.
Sure.
I need to sit in the bucolic field a little longer.
Probably.
Keeping with the bees, I would say this is bracingly bitter, almost.
It is. I mean, this is like, this is like ESB, you know, IBU space, I think.
I'm enjoying it. I'm not saying that's a bad thing. I almost wonder, are you selling this to an IPA drinker? Like, here, try this.
You could, yeah. I mean, that's the thing. Unlike a lot of other German beers, to me, this has never been a crushable one. I couldn't sit and put away three of these like I could a good Helles. Because it's going to be a little too much after a little while.
I don't know if I'd want mustard and pretzels with this. And I always want mustard.
I'm going to say this is not to style. Sorry.
I think it is to style.
I think it is.
Yeah. It's too bitter.
No, I mean, that's what a Dortmunder should be, is bitter. And I think this is perfectly bitter. I like their choice of hops they use, because it's just straight, you know, bitteringness. There's no fruits. There's no aromatic-y things. There's, you know what I mean? There's not a lot of fuss from us.
If we drop Mike, you know, back, you know, 100 years ago, 150 years ago, whatever, when this had to be shipped around the world, he would like it once the hops have fallen off and it doesn't really taste like beer anymore.
Checkmate.
So just checked real quick. IBUs on this thing, according to the BJCP styles, can go up to a 30. And I mean, you're talking.
Oh, that is way above 30. This is.
I don't think so.
Oh my gosh. That's got to be like hanging 80 or 90.
No.
We'll have more discussions about this beer and others in just a minute.
Clouds and crashing surf, iridescent dunes reflecting by the light of a rising glowing moon. Seashore mesmerizing, night breeze hypnotizing, we've come across these back roads none too soon. Look to the left, to the right, keep your eyes on the road, my darling, wondering if we're only passing through. Open roads and open windows, my hand is yours forever, sweet love.
Welcome back, everyone. We're hanging out in the bucolic fields of Olney, Maryland, and we're drinking some beer from Lone Oak Farm Brewing Company.
And most of us are enjoying it.
Okay.
Yes. Most of us. I will repeat my comment that I had at the break. This is really just an ESB that doesn't have a good theme song.
Okay. So. What we're talking about is the Dortmunder Export German Lager from them. Now, for the uneducated, this is not a common style of beer.
So you're talking to Mike, right?
And for those of us around the table, the only one that we could remember distinctly would be one from Great Lakes. So that being said, I think this is a gorgeous beer for what it is.
I like it.
Mm. Yeah. I think this is a beer you serve to a brother-in-law that you don't like.
See, I'm going to agree with Kendall, not Mike, because I like this beer.
Really?
We normally agree on a lot, but I will disagree with Kendall in that it's not crushable, because mine's already gone. Well,
it, I finished mine too, but
there's an astringency to it that made me want to keep going back to it. Like, okay. Yes, it's bitter. Sure. I'm not going to go pound one by any stretch of imagination, but it disappeared pretty quick. Even even the gentleman who doesn't seem to like it is almost done with this.
Shady.
Very interesting.
No, but I like it for the simplicity of what it is. It has a nice malt backbone. The hops that are used are not what we've been doing. We're drinking a lot of lately. Mm-hmm. So this is almost refreshing to me. Yes, is it bitter and it's a little sharp at the end? Sure. But it does fade off then, and it's enjoyable. And I could see it with a lot of German style foods, you know, and also American foods. I think it's great. I think it would go great with seafood.
Give me a cheeseburger.
And I'm going to rate it a 4, and I'm not going to care about that guy in the corner.
I'm just sitting out here in the bucolic field.
Nobody puts it's baby in the
enjoying
corner.
Enjoying my goldfish.
You know? All right.
We'll put Mike there.
Yeah. Let's go to...
Is that the penalty field?
Let's go and find our deep roots in the milk chocolate porter.
Okay. I see what you did there.
Thank you. This one is 5.8% milk chocolate porter finished on cacao.
It smells so coffee. To me.
Yeah. It's there.
It's going to be the cacao.
It's sweet and bitter on the tongue.
I'm getting a little bit of just Hershey's bar.
Yep.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Like that cheap milk chocolate.
By the way, if you haven't figured it out, we're actually tasting these in real time. We didn't taste them in advance, so you were getting our unfettered, sometimes unthoughtful review.
I was about to say, the milk chocolate Hershey bar was not a ringing endorsement, but now you I'm good.
The flavor is good.
I'm with Kendall.
It's a really balanced, really creamy, chocolatey.
It's drier than I expected.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
In a good way, obviously.
You know, you get that little bit of chocolate sweetness thing right at the front, and then it just, the little bit of hopsiness thing kick in, balance it out, boom, and it finishes dry.
It's like a quick drive right up the Hershey Highway. You know what I'm saying? You know, that chocolate. I mean, I'm talking about the chocolate.
From only to Hershey's, probably not that far, right?
Yeah, right.
Dave, we've clearly been banned from discussing the Hershey Highway.
Yeah, I mean, there's only, you know, like one.
Where?
It's only
at one end.
It's only one exit away.
There were injunction filings. You know, I had to plead through this. You know, we had training. You know, there was shock therapy. Yeah. You know,
ascending or descending.
You know. Oh, my goodness. Please
depends
don't encourage
on your alignment.
Well, I like the complete package around this milk chocolate stout. It has a great finish. I love
it. It's a porter. It's not a stout.
That's what I just said, right?
No.
Well, how about
Mike's
that?
Mike's on top of his game today.
So, I would say this definitely crossing over between a, you know, milk chocolate stout and porter with this is really going to be tough to distinguish, other than I would say that
Kendall could do it.
This is not going to have the same viscosity, and it's not going to have the same body and sugar component. And to me, I like that. Mm-hmm. It's a really good porter.
Yeah, it's close to bumping up against a sweet stout, but I feel like a sweet stout's going to give you a little more body, a little more mouth feel.
A little less of that roast.
Yeah.
As actual beer judges at the table, at least one.
Yeah, it's true.
At least one.
Well,
the difference between a stout and porter is
it's not that different.
It's just sweet.
It's almost just a level of degrees.
So Drew,
I'd rate
here's the deal. Okay, when we talk about beer judges at the table, like, and you look at those two, like one of them is almost like a Supreme Court justice, and the other one Joe Brown.
I'm just,
you know what I'm saying? Like,
who gets better ratings?
Judge pairs, Wattner, and I am the balance in the situation. So yes. I just lean in. I just lean across the table and go, I don't like it. So, you know,
I rate every beer in single digits. That's what my
true
mantra is.
Yes, I'm guilty of that. You're not worthy again.
Get thee to a nunnery.
You know, sell your gear.
I don't think this is a very common style, you know, porter, because most porters you're not really dumping a whole bunch of lactose in them. And I think that I actually like the. Again, this is a very, you know, good, complete, well-balanced beer. I like this. You know, this might actually be something I would serve to the same brother-in-law to say, boy, that Dortmunder was something, eh?
So, wow. So, Juliana, as a dark beer enthusiast, what do you think?
I'm a big fan of this. And the reason why is the average porter tends to be a little watery. It'll be,
yep,
it'll have that like coffee bitterness, but it'll be watery. This one has a really nice mouthfeel to it. A little slickness at the end, you know, from the milk chocolatiness, but really well done. And I'm jazzed about this brewery already because these are two styles that, okay, well, the Dortmunder, you really don't see a lot, so yay to that. But the porter is something that you don't see a lot because people would just rather brew a stout and be done with it. So to have this, it's nice. It's really nice. And, you know, fall weather, give me more.
If I could get them.
Oh, yeah.
If I could get them on the show, I'd try to extract a promise for them to never, ever put lactose in this beer. Please, never.
Doesn't need it.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, there isn't any lactose in this, you think?
I don't know.
So. It says milk chocolate.
I was looking at the can to see if it said lactose. There's other ways to get the sweetness without lactose. It's not the go-to, but
I just feel like there's a little slickness on the tongue that lends me to think that there might be a hint of it, but I don't know.
If they did put it in, they didn't put much in it.
Yeah.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
Which is, they showed some control, so.
Which is great in this day and age.
Geez, I didn't know Mike had that many fingers on his hand.
Well, we are going to rate the Deep Root Milk Chocolate Porter a 4.
Look, it's a good beer, you know? I if it's a good beer, then I will rate a good beer well.
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 Okay.
Welcome to my hometown.
Yeah, let's go to the hometown crew, Czech Style Pilsner. This one is 5.5% ABV, smooth and malty with a bit of herbal hop kick. Traditionally brewed in lager for 3 months to allow the local Pilsner malt and small batch Saaz hops to shine.
Herbal hop kick. Is herbal something you normally use as a descriptor when you...
Oh, I would on this one. Yeah.
Well, I haven't tasted it yet. Czech Pilsner, right?
Yeah, for
right.
Those Saaz hops can really add a either pepperiness or big herbal notes.
Vegetal.
And I'm getting a huge herbal note on this one. But you get a little bit of that peppery spice too.
Oh, yeah.
Which is nice. Yeah.
Oh, this is a nice beer.
God almighty, I'm not part of this.
Yeah, you see what we mean? Mm-hmm. We mean now?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. This is like if you took the best parts of a Ricola lozenge and put it with a really good beer.
This has a lot going on.
I know that seems weird, but yeah.
For Czech, you know, pills, which I usually think of them as being a very simplistic style, and you're really looking for something that's incredibly straightforward. It's a beer, you know. And this has a lot going on.
It's a little more complex. The malt character of this, I would say, is more complex, more bready, more... just a little bit of, there's even a little bit of that toastiness to it. It says they use a local Pilsner malt. So I'm curious, like, what kind of variety that is? How did they kiln it and all of that? Because it does have a lot more flavor, I think, than a lot of Czech pills.
I think it's a tad bit too bitter.
Now I'm going to have to agree with Mike. I mean, I like it when I'm drinking it. I just think the bitterness lingers longer than I would like it.
It does.
You know.
Is that the flight?
Like coming off of a chocolate.
A Dortmunder and a more.
I don't think so. I mean, if anything, the porter would have kind of washed any of the Dortmunder away. And then, but this is just, like I said, like this is a good Pilsner, but it's just, it's like more than a Pilsner. And I don't really want a Pilsner to be more than a Pilsner. Mm-hmm. I just want it to be.
That's what I'm saying.
A straight up, easy, don't ever. See, let's not linger and us agreeing, okay? Let's not do that, okay? We're going to accept it's happening, but we're not going to acknowledge it anymore.
This just makes me want to sit next to an ocean and eat some oysters, maybe some, you know, soft shell crab or something like that. Like when first thing I read with herbal, I was going to make a joke about Old Bay seasoning, but
I do think this would hold up with a wider variety of foods than a normal Pilsner.
I think the thing that's interesting about this is it has the malt flavor you expect a lot of times from the Czech pills, but it's almost got a hoppiness of a German pills.
Yeah.
And so you're getting a little bit of both in this one, because they tend to be a little softer, but this one's pretty assertive in the bitterness.
Yeah, it is.
You know, if I had to try to pick some of the things out of the Ricola, you know, cough drop, it's like rosemary and lavender seem to be kind of the predominant things that are in the middle of this. That are, it all depends on, you know, how you're wired, which is you either like the unique component, you know, that brings to the table, or you're like Dave and myself, which is, I like a Czech Pils to be very fairly one dimensional. So, I think that would, I would definitely have this with a pretzel and some heavy beer cheese for sure. Is what I would probably, you know, that pair this good. With. Because you need something that's going to cut some of the bitterness in this. And this isn't a beer you sit down and drink all by itself. You need to pair it with something. Yeah.
Yep. Good food.
I think good cheese. Yeah. Like we were saying, like nice, just to kind of cut through some of that, you know, that bitterness.
Not nice. Just pairing it with good company.
Maybe just walk and stand out in the bucolic fields.
Stop being so wholesome.
I want to know what Dave thinks is good cheese. Is that just anything not in a plastic wrapper?
I'm not going to say that because sometimes good cheese.
I wouldn't get it at the desk bell. Dave, okay, that fine. Is it.
Aww.
See, Ed Kendall scored. You know what? Kendall, I liked you. Well, I mean, sort of.
I've been sitting close.
Are you talking double wrapped or single wrapped?
At least you didn't say anything that's not in a can. So
we are going to rate the Hometown Crew Czech Style Pilsner A3. I think it's story time now.
Oh.
All right. So the headline from New York is, oh hiss, New York man charged with putting several reptiles in his pants.
What?
Yes, you heard that.
I've heard of trouser snakes before, but
that's what we're talking about. So a New York City man has been charged with smuggling 3 Burmese pythons in his pants at the U.S.-Canadian border crossing.
Wait a second. Three?
Three.
A python party in his pants.
There are like 10 million Burmese pythons in the Everglades. Why do you have to sneak one into the U.S.?
Exactly.
Yeah.
But Mr. Calvin Batista, 36, is accused of bringing the hidden snakes on a bus that crossed into northern New York on July 15, 2018. Importation of Burmese pythons is regulated by an international treaty and by federal regulations listing them as injurious to human beings. Batista of Queens was arraigned Tuesday in Albany on the federal smuggling charge and released pending trial, according to a news release from the U.S. attorney. An email seeking comment was sent to Batista's lawyer. I guess the lawyer did not respond. We don't have anything else on that. But the charge carries a potential for a maximum sentence of 20 years in prison and a fine as high as $250,000, according to the federal
That is one very expensive snake.
Very expensive. I wonder, is that $250 per snake, probably?
Oh, yeah.
I want to know, is this the snake on a bus? Is this the prequel or the sequel to Snakes on a Plane?
I'm tired of all these snakes on a bus.
But it says the Burmese python, one of the world's largest snakes, is considered a vulnerable species.
Perhaps.
And it's invasive in Florida, where it threatens the natives.
Samuel L. Jackson will play this guy in the movie they make about Mr. Batista's adventure on the bus.
Well, so first off, I absolutely am convinced beyond a shadow of a doubt of not even knowing this, but this was an idea from a Canadian. because I just don't see, anybody from New York going, you know what? I'm going to go to Canada. I'm going to come back with a snake. You know, so.
Were these baby Burmese pythons?
No. They were full grown.
Oh, I mean, Burmese pythons can get really big. I mean, 20 feet.
What's the process?
Know?
Do you like duct tape a python to your leg or something?
Wrap it around.
Do you feed it snacks on the way so that it doesn't chew on your leg?
Do you put a little snake muzzle over its head?
Did all of the women on the bus really want to sit next
to
this guy?
Do you sing lullabies?
His fashion choice gray night, sweatpants?
This guy's got a lot going on down there.
I will feed you later.
Go to sleep.
I mean, down boy. How do you break the news to your friends? Do you call them? Do you text them going, hey man, I'll be there with the snakes in like 15 minutes. You know,
hey, is
there a code?
Is that a Burmese python in your pants, or are you just happy to see me?
Well, and I have probably been back and forth across the Canadian border no less than 50 times, and I think that's what I'm like.
And Mike has never had anything in his pants on any of those trips.
There might have been some beer. But,
we disavow all knowledge. You know,
I disavow anything that I just said.
He only brought back maple syrup in his pants.
It's like, unless you're coming on and off a plane, you know, and like going through customs, but... I mean, you can drive across the border and walk across, you know, in like 1,000 places into Canada. Why did you have to choose to do that?